The most important thing that you know about the Holy Spirit is that when he fills someone, that means that they can do what they couldn't do before. They can speak with new tongues, and the gift of tongues, all the way through the book of Acts, it's a sign of being filled. Now, it's not the only sign. There are gifts of power, there are miracles and workings of faith and words of knowledge and wisdom. They're all gifts of the Holy Spirit. And there is also the fruit of the person of the Holy Spirit filling someone's life. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will live in the power of the character of Jesus, which is love, joy, peace. It's supernatural. It's not natural. It's not something that you are naturally speaking. It's a supernatural thing to be filled with the Spirit. And when we're filled, we're that full of joy, full of love. There's no room for anything else. Full of peace, no room for anxiety, and full of power to do what we couldn't do before. So the church had this great, massive, awesome birthday gift. And that's available for anyone who wants to pray and ask the Lord to fill you. If you believe in Jesus, today can be a day where God fills you. And today, I believe, is going to be a day where we're all going to be, those who have been filled, filled up again. Ask, Jesus said, whoever asks for the Holy Spirit, the Father is not like a bad father that would give stones or bad gifts. He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So ask and you will receive. Paul puts it like this: go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Go on, don't be filled with what you used to be like and your old bits of character that aren't quite full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let him live through you. Let him live through you. So this birthday party, really, celebration of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, in this upper room, we see that God actually had prepared a crowd, got ready these people. And the reason he got them ready and filled with the Holy Spirit is very clear. It wasn't just so they could speak in tongues. I love speaking in tongues. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Builds you up, builds up your spirit, your inner man. It's such an important gift for the spirit-filled believer. And if you don't use it, you'll be a weak believer. There'll be a weakness spiritually in your life if you don't pray in tongues. Because it builds you up, builds up your innermost inner man. But God prepared them not just to speak in tongues, to be supernatural, but actually he prepared them to go out and speak powerfully, to be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to speak and to preach the gospel. But on the same day as this upper room awesome event was going on, outside, obviously downstairs, there was this massive crowd gathering that had come to Jerusalem. And God wasn't just moving in the church. He was moving out there to get people ready to listen to those who were filled with the Spirit and were going to speak. So God is moving upstairs and he is moving downstairs. God is moving. We happen to be in a building, for those who are listening online, where we meet on the upper floor. And that's what I love about this room, because Jesus went into an upper room to prepare his disciples before he went to the cross. And the Spirit came in the upper room. And there's lots of things that happen when we meet together as God's church through his word, his presence, his Spirit amongst us. We have experiences with God. But God doesn't just stop with preparing the church. He prepares another crowd. to get them ready to listen to the ones he's filled with his spirit. So there are two crowds God's working with. Can you see that? And they were from all over the world. And we could say, in this area, wherever we live, there are people from all over the world who are around us. That God has got ready through his spirit to listen. So God is moving in two different places. He works in us, he fills us, but he's working on the lost. I love to think of that. God is working on the harvest, which is the whole field of lost humanity who are going to an eternal destruction, not annihilation, but a continual torment. They'll never be annihilated. They will live forever. Torment in hell. And so God is preparing the two crowds to make a connection. And these disciples, at some point, went downstairs. I know that's not rocket science, but it is. They didn't stay in the upper room. They went downstairs and burst out to meet the crowd that was ready to hear. At some point, they had to move. They had to do something and go downstairs. When I was a teenager, I used to love working with horses. I don't know whether it's a teenage thing. I've gone off it a bit now. It's too much like hard work. I love horses. Love watching them, looking at them. They're beautiful creatures. Don't want to muck out stables. I don't want to do all of that. But at that time, you know, I was just, you know, evenings after school or Saturdays, I'd go out and help out on this farm just because I loved the horses. But whenever harvest time came, I wasn't allowed to look after the horses. I was enlisted for harvest. Nobody had a choice. When harvest had to be reaped and brought in, everybody had to play their part, even if you didn't know what you were doing. You could still be a very good laborer. And the farmer used to have parked in his shed this massive combine harvester. And, you know, I used to walk past it and look at it and admire it. It's such a big thing. If you ever come across a combine harvester, you look up at it, Mark would know. Devon shows on. So, I mean, there's these big combine harvesters. And you look at it and go, I'd like to drive that. Actually, I did once, and we went into a ditch, but that's another story. I wasn't very skillful on that occasion. But they would kind of power up this machine, and you'd hear the engines going. And the shed was just the room they kept this combine in. The combine was not made for the shed. It wasn't actually made just to stand there and go, like at a show. Oh, look, a beautiful bit of kit. Oh, how beautiful your combine harvester is. It was made to go out into the field and bring in the harvest. Okay, so it was made to change location from the shed. It had to move out into the field. Now, I know that's not rocket science, but can you imagine those 120 parking? Can you imagine them staying parked in that upper room saying, oh, your language is a bit different to mine. I really like that new language you've got. You practice yours, I'll listen. I'll see if I can translate it, because apparently if I pray, I can get an interpretation. Then I'll have a go. You have a go. Your language is even more different to mine. And this is an awesome place. Let's stay here. Let's not move from this conference, this upper room, this together feeling. If they had stayed parked, what God had given through the gift of his Son and through the Holy Spirit would have stayed contained in that room. Aren't you glad they didn't stay parked? And because they didn't, the gospel of Jesus has come to us. If they hadn't gone downstairs, we would not be here. Because God does not use angels to preach the gospel. God uses spirit-filled believers. Interesting, isn't it? The word has to get out through a preacher. Paul actually says, how can they hear unless somebody goes to tell them? And so they went downstairs. There was a guy called Peter. He was an apostle. Most of you know about him. You read about him. He always put in his foot in it. In his discipleship process, it was an interesting one, that one. But Jesus never didn't use him. He always had a plan for Peter. And Peter was on a roof praying. He was upstairs on this roof. And he got hungry and he sent downstairs and must have been staying somewhere where there was really a strong gift of hospitality because they started cooking. And he's on the roof praying and he gets this vision. And I call it, the Bible says it was a sheet. I call it a tablecloth because I think it's a bit of a picnic coming down from heaven, a vision of a picnic. And on this tablecloth, can we say, were all these kinds of four-legged creatures. And God speaks. He doesn't know it's God. But God speaks and says, rise, Peter, kill, eat. And Peter goes, don't you know I'm a Jew? I know I'm a believer, but I'm still a Jew. And Jews don't eat that stuff. It's unclean. And God says to Peter, don't call what I call clean, unclean. Basically, I make it clean. God is the only one who can make us clean, isn't he? But basically, Peter had a problem with the going bit of the Christian life. He basically said, I will go, but it's got limits. I'll do the bit that I can see. He had what I called a boundary that wasn't of God, a limitation. And God had to break him out of that boundary because his thinking, his mind, wasn't on the way God saw harvest. It was only on the people that Peter thought he was called to speak to. But God had a whole nother group of people not very far away for Peter to minister to. And so God had to break down the walls, the limits of his social circle. How many of you know that we can all get used to our own little social circle? Anybody honest here today? We can all get really used to the people we know. We can go to the same people over and over again. And God actually had these 120, he had Peter in these situations where God was moving in their lives, but they had to go downstairs and meet people they had never met before. And if we could hear the cry of the Spirit in us, the heart of God on the inside of each one of us, it would be break beyond what you already know. Because there are people I have prepared for you to reach. And unless we go beyond the boundary of a room, the boundary of being filled with the Spirit and just keeping him to ourselves, the boundary of, well, I've seen people say, but that's it. I'm doing really well. What about them? Or send someone else, Lord, not me. How many of you have done that one? Here I am, send them. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord, but not there. Not with someone I don't know. And always God is into breakout. We're in a breakout year. The breakout of God, the breakout of the Holy Spirit. But in order for the Spirit to break out, we either have to go downstairs and make a connection with this crowd, or God will only break in, and then it will become static, stagnant. It won't move. And God wants to move where he's preparing people for us to meet. And he wants us to make that connection. And you and I can all be, how can I talk to someone I don't know? And of course we need to apply wisdom, but wisdom doesn't mean not speak. Some people use that excuse and say, oh, I need to be very careful. But wisdom doesn't mean don't speak. It means make sure you're in a context where it's safe and right to speak, but speak the words of this life. Tell someone about what you know about Jesus, what prayers he's answered for you, what he has done in changing you as a person. Talk to people about Jesus. And so we need to break beyond our social limits. I know that those closest to our heart probably get the most prayers. Does anybody want to be honest here this morning? Me and mine. But what about the ones who haven't got anyone praying for them? Not just the ones you know. If we're going to love where we live and see a breakout of God, we've got to start loving them enough. The love of Christ compelling us. Because he died for everyone, we're going to give him them the message that saved us. The good news of Jesus Christ. But I think there are a couple of things you and I need to know that make us brave. Because God wants us to be brave. Not timid. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. We don't have it. But we have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. But he wants us to be brave. And there are two things that I want to focus on before we're going to pray this morning. The first thing that should make us brave is that Jesus promised that he will be with us and in us. In John chapter 14, he said to his disciples, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send the helper, the Holy Spirit. He will be with you and he will be in you. Now you see, we need to dare to believe that. That makes you brave. If God's with you and you really know what that means, you're not going to stop at fear or rejection or being intimidated talking to people you don't know yet about Jesus. Jesus, his presence is with us always. He will never leave us or forsake us. Now, as spirit-filled Christians in this upper room, we love the experiences. I mean, I sometimes, and I can weep in worship here. I see the Lord. I encounter him. When we pray, I really get moved. I mean, we heard the prayers this morning. They should move us. People's needs and our faith in Jesus to work miracles for other people. The presence of God when we gather together is amazing. God manifests himself through his word, his spirit, hearing the miracles every week of what God does in individual lives. We experience God up here. But you know, often when we go downstairs, we stop experiencing. Anybody, when you go to work on Monday, you feel entirely different to when you're worshiping the Lord here on the Sundays. Anybody know what I mean? Okay, so you feel entirely different. And the trouble is, we make a mistake as charismatic Christians. That means filled with the Holy Spirit. We make a big mistake if we say the God of the upper room is different to the God of downstairs. When I feel nothing, don't see an angel, haven't got a vision, he's still with me and will never leave me. We need to dare to believe that. That makes me courageous to speak when I've got absolutely nothing spiritual I feel going on. Do you know I live my life mostly and not feeling anything? When I worship, as the Lord said to me this morning before I came out, he said, faith gets the connection with me in worship. And this morning, you're not going to feel a thing. I thought, great. I'd rather always feel, and I love it when I do. But it's faith. He's here. And when we were singing, awesome in this place, that's the truth. I don't feel. I haven't got goosebumps. I didn't fall over. I didn't go, oh. But I will rejoice. I will dance. I will lift my hands because the Lord says in my presence, lift up my hand. Lift up your hands and praise me. And I will do it, whether I feel it or not. God is here, because I believe it. But God is wherever I go, because he will be with me and in me always. So before I pray, God's here. Before I speak to anyone, God's here. In my office, where I work, my neighbors, car park, wherever I am, God's here. He's with me. And I can be brave because he is. Amen. That's one of the things that makes me brave. The second thing, just turn with me to Luke's gospel, and we're going to finish with this. I'll tell you a story after this, and then we're going to pray. Power us up, Lord. Get this combine going out. We're a combine harvester. Think of the church as a great big combine. Think of your life as a combine harvester. That's true. It's true. God has empowered you to reap souls. To bring in the harvest for Jesus. Go into all the highways, the byways. Go everywhere. And bring them into my house. God wants his house full. Say, God wants his house full. And he's telling me to go and bring them in. Jesus wants the fullness of those being saved to come in to the kingdom. So Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord also appointed 70 others. He didn't just use his 12. He got this larger crowd, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, "The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field." Pray the Lord of the harvest. God's moving out there, and he's moving in here. Pray that he will get those in here out there. Okay? Now, the other thing that I really just want to emphasize on here before we finish, and that is Jesus sent them out two by two. Now, we know that he's with us, so he's already there. But he said, wherever you go, I'm going to show up. He said, you go and I'll come in and follow it up. Now, often you and I, when we are with someone who doesn't know Jesus, talking to them, praying for them, healing them, we just think it's just a little bit that we're doing. But But Jesus says, the little bit you do, the one who can do everything is going to come into that little bit.
Brilliant.
The one who can do everything is going to come in. Isn't that brilliant? I love it to think the Lord's going to follow this one up. If I talk to somebody about Jesus, it's like God's going to follow that up. He's coming on in here. If I pray for somebody, God's coming in. The one who can do everything's coming in. The one who can do anything. Nothing's too difficult for the Lord. I just do my little bit. And he does his big bit. And the job gets done. I love it that he sent them out two by two, and I think we do need the encouragement of being partners to win the lost. Husbands and wives, connect groups, partnering, friends, partnering, going out. Now, they went on a bit of a prayer walk, but it was a prayer walk for a harvest. They were going to go and make a connection. And that's all God needs to do, actually, to see many that are ready in this region saved. Bring us together with the lost. That's the next bit. To go downstairs, to go out, to make a connection. And God will come in. It needs to be done in prayer, walking around, praying. It's all in the spirit of prayer because we need the Holy Spirit to lead us, to work, and to do what he wants to do. And you might get a word. You might get a vision. I don't know. You might see an angel. I mean, an angel showed up with Philip and said, go down to the desert and preach. I think it would have taken an angel to get me in the desert. But anyway, do you know what I mean? He had to go to a place where nothing was good, nothing was happening. And he met one man. He made a connection that took the gospel to a continent. Don't you love the Lord preparing everything? Because it happened with Peter. There was a guy prepared not far away. He was a Gentile. And Peter had to change the way he thought. And he said, go downstairs and get on. Go with them. And he arrived in Cornelius's house and the whole house was saved. And Cornelius was a Gentile. This was a Jew. But they all became one in Christ, because that's the only way we're ever going to become one, and that's with Jesus. But there's no boundaries, there's no limits. We can cross every boundary with the love of God and the passion to see people saved and reconnected with their Creator through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this is the story I'd like to finish with this morning before we pray. And it's just brilliant. I heard it recently, and honestly, I hope it does for you what it did for me. It's about a 16-year-old girl, and a Christian, and she was walking through the town that she lives in. And as she's walking, it's a busy day, through the shopping kind of center, and people were walking towards her. And as she's walking along, she gets this prayer, this little prayer that comes up out of her heart. And she says it to the Lord, out loud, but not very loud. And she said, Lord, use me now. I love that. Because I love the Lord use me. But I love it. Lord, use me now. And there's not many words, is it? This is a powerful prayer. Lord, use me now. And there's this crowd of people walking, doing their own thing, coming towards her. And you know, when the Lord does something, your kind of eyes catch someone in a crowd. I believe that's how Jesus could see certain people. He caught them by the Spirit in the crowd. God kind of like big arrow, but not quite. Highlights someone. And she saw this other girl on her phone, another teenager, walking along, crying. It's very relevant considering the prayer request that we had in this morning. And This girl's got tears streaming down her face, not caring that anybody walking by could see that she was very upset. And as she's walking, this girl sees her and she doesn't know what else to do, but this is all she did. And this is it. Are you watching? Stay awake while I'm speaking if you can, because this is a great story and Jesus is worth it. And this is what she did. Held out her arms. It's the only one thing that she could think of doing for a girl who was so upset. Now, she knew of her at school, but she wasn't a friend of hers. But she still did this, held out her arms. And this girl fell into her arms and she hugged her. And then she did what I think, this has got to be a radical 16-year-old. Would do. Radical believer, let's put it like that, said, I don't know whatever's wrong, but I'm going to a prayer meeting. Do you want to come? Brilliant. You and I, you know, if we don't really believe God, if we've got a bit of unbelief going on, we think, oh no, what will I do? But you just go along to a prayer meeting. God will do it. Bring them to church. God will do it. He's here. You don't have to make excuses for why they won't believe. Get them in an environment where God is, and God will move. So she took them to this home, it must have been like our Connect group, where they were going to be praying. And these people just loved her and told her that Jesus had a plan for her life. Do you know she'd never heard the name Jesus? Never knew who he was, what he's done. And she really seemed to quite enjoy this prayer meeting. And they blessed her, laid hands on her, and asked God to take care of her and whatever the prayer. She didn't talk about what the issue was, why she was crying. And then before they left, the girl who'd opened her arms said, let's exchange emails. So they exchanged emails. And a week later, this girl contacted the believer who took her to the prayer meeting and said, I can't get this name Jesus out of my head. Do you know the name of Jesus is powerful? Just the name. There is salvation in no other name. I can't get the name out of my head. And this girl said, well, why don't you come to church with me? So she's given two invites, one to a prayer meeting. Well, an invite to love with her arms open wide and to be there. An invite to a prayer meeting and now to church. She got saved. And she wrote an email, and in this email, she said, I want to tell you what I was going to be doing that day. I was just going back to the place I was staying. And I'd got everything ready in the room to take my life. And I had to make one phone call to the one person who I thought throughout my life, I had nobody ever cared about me except this one person who was my aunt. And I just felt to ring her and say thank you for loving me. But I just can't go on. And she said I was going to go to my room and finish my life. And then I saw you in the street holding your hands out. Isn't that amazing? And it was the only communication. It wasn't super spiritual. It was just this. It's a bit like Jesus on the cross, whose arms went out to embrace all of humankind, all humanity. In the love of God. God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And she was just representing God's love that day. And she said, since I have received Jesus and got to know him, I am the happiest girl I could ever be. What a story. What a prayer. The upstairs group and the downstairs prepared, ready, and they need to make a connection. And unless the connection's made, where they can hear about Jesus, find him, then they will not come in to the kingdom. And I think we need to be brave about it. It's time to be brave. It's time to know that he's with us. It's time to know that he's going to follow up and do everything that is impossible for us to do. But the little bit that we share, God's going to move. And we're going to go praying. Pray the Lord of the harvest, the Lord of what's going on out there. And actually it says send out laborers. It actually means throw out. And I love to think of that. God's going, upper room people, there we go. I'm throwing you into where the lost are. That is a kind of, the Holy Spirit, the heart of God is, get on out there. Meet someone new. You haven't talked to before. But God has prepared somebody for you to talk to. There is a harvest field for every single one of us. And it's in harvest time, which it always is, everybody's hand to the deck. There's nobody that can say, well, I don't do that. I only like horses. I don't like combines. It's all hands to the deck. And if you drive it in the ditch, don't worry. Next time, you'll know. Turn right a bit. But what matters is we obey what Jesus asks us to do. And we actually do what he asks. And I don't know whether you want to be like that girl, but say, Lord, use me now. Not now, but wherever you go this week, now, Lord, use me. Just to say one word, just to pray one prayer, just to heal one person. You're going to follow it up. And I believe that many will come to know Jesus because we don't stay parked. We don't stay in our limitations, but we get beyond. And I know that I know you know this to be a word from God. But I trust it's come to your heart in a fresh way this morning, not just your head. And I trust the Holy Spirit in you is going, I really want to do this. And he's giving you the want to. Not the have to, but the want to. Because he puts his spirit in us to cause us to walk in what Jesus asks us to do. Shall we stand? Thank you, Lord. What a great story. What a great Jesus. What a great Savior. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Why don't you thank the Lord for all the upper room experiences with Jesus you've ever had, for his presence, his spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank him. Just for the dimension of worship and praise and encounter we share, for the infilling of his Holy Spirit, just thank him for his spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us and in us always. Thank you that we can be brave because you're here. You're not just here when we come together as a church, but you're here with us when we go downstairs and out into the week and into the world that you send us into. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to feel you, experience you, get something supernatural happen for us to know that you are always with us and that you never leave us or forsake us. Come on, thank the Lord that he is always with you, day and night, in every place. We're carriers of his presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just thank him now. The little bit that you give to somebody who is unsaved, Jesus is going to come in and bring something so amazing into their lives. He will follow it up with his power. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We believe, Lord, we believe in your ability to save. That as we make those connections and we go out, Lord, and pray like that girl, Lord, use me now. That every day will be a now day. Every day, every moment will be, Lord, use me now, use me in my office, use me when I'm teaching, use me when I'm designing, use me when I'm with customers, use me when I'm talking to neighbors, use me when I'm talking to someone in the shop, use me, Lord Jesus, use me at school, everywhere I go, Jesus, I want to pray that you will get me into the right place at the right time so that the harvest can come in. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just thank the Lord that you are a harvester. And you're not going to stay parked. Amen. You're not going to stay parked. You're going to break new ground by the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you have never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and you have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, ask, Jesus says, and you will receive. But for all of us, let's ask him to fill us so that we will be compelled to go downstairs and out into the lives of people who don't know Jesus. It'll be the working of his Spirit that will move us. And that we won't stay unmoved, but that actually God, like that combine harvester, will power us up to move us out into the harvest. So let's just in this moment believe him to fill us as we ask. Because Jesus is asking, the Father will give you, will fill you. So let's pray personally. Fill me again, Lord, out loud. Come on, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we need you. We can't do this winning the lost without you. Because our sufficiency isn't of ourselves, but it's of God. You are our sufficiency, Lord. You're our ability. And so fill me, Holy Spirit, fill your church, fill every member of the body here. Put your hands on the people around you and just pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, just believe the Holy Spirit to move now. Thank you, Lord, throw us out, Lord. Holy Spirit, move in all of our hearts. Give us that momentum of the power of your Spirit to move us, to reach someone, to speak to someone, to be like that girl standing in the middle of the street with our arms open, ready to welcome, to love, and to lead them to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Break down every wall of prejudice, the limitations. Holy Spirit, come move. I just want to pray for a supernatural breaking down of unseen walls in our heads and in our minds and belief systems. Come, Holy Spirit, break us up. Break up the fallow ground. Break up what you want to break up in my life and in our lives as a church so that we can be that moving harvest machine going out into the field where the lost are. Lord, I invite you to be Lord of my mind, my heart, my actions, my decisions. And Lord, I thank you that if that 16-year-old only just prayed that and held out her arms, all of us can do the simple things. But you followed that up, Lord. You follow that up with a revelation of yourself in that girl's life that has changed her from someone who wanted to take her life to being the happiest person alive. And so lead us out, Lord, we pray. into the harvest field you've prepared. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'd just like you to pray with one another. Just that God will give you eyes to see the people or the person that God wants to highlight in every day. So just pray that God would open your eyes to see the harvest. And you'll have that compassion to move. Thank you, Jesus. Ah, praise the name of Jesus forever and ever. Throw us out, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're a world changer. You're a life changer. Because you know Jesus. He carried treasure. And we're going to get... I love upstairs. I love this place. I love being together. I think it's always been what God's will is. But there's got to be upstairs and downstairs. Both. And the upstairs equips us with the downstairs. But today, particularly, the emphasis of the Spirit. Just think of that 16-year-old. Do what you can do, and God will do the rest. Amen. And I thank God you are where you are in the world you're in. Can you see by design where you're supposed to be? Just where you are. Because of the disciples. You know, they didn't travel far. They went out onto the street and everybody was there. God's prepared a crowd. God has prepared people for you to meet. Praise the Lord. Let's praise Him.
If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186, or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.